السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. كيف أصبحتم؟ أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله والحمد لله، لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. ربي أسألك خير ما في هذا اليوم وخير ما هو بعده، وأعوذ بك من شر ما في هذا النهار ومن شر ما هو بعده. ربي أعوذ بك من الكسل وسوء الكبر. ربي أعوذ بك من عذاب في النار ومن عذاب في القبر. بسم الله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه أبدا سرمدا، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبجزيل نعمائه، لا نحصي ثناء عليه عز وجل هو كما أثنى على نفسه. والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الرسول المبين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين الصادق الأمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين من أزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته أجمعين، وعلى صحابته الغر المحجلين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، نسأل الله أن يكتبنا منهم، آمين. صح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أنه قال: خير يوم طلعت عليه الشمس يوم الجمعة. The best day upon which the sun rose is the day of Jumu'ah. فيه خلق آدم وفيه قبض وفيه النفخة وفيه الصعقة. It is on Jumu'ah that Allah سبحانه وتعالى had decreed Adam to be created. It is on Jumu'ah that Adam عليه السلام died. It is on Jumu'ah that Adam, the blowing in the trumpet will take place. It is on Jumu'ah that the sa'qa, the deafening sound that will cause everything and every being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to lose consciousness. فَأَكْثِرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فِيهِ عَلَيْهِ said he صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَأَكْثِرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فِيهِ عَلَيْهِ and thus send often Salah and salam upon me on that day. And in another hadith, he mentions also the night of Jumu'ah. That is what we call in our convention Thursday night. And the Jumu'ah day until the sun sets, be often in salah and taslim upon Rasulullah. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. He also said صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم: من قرأ سورة الكهف يوم الجمعة أضاء له ما بين الجمعتين. that whosoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on the day of Jummah, for such there will be illumination until the next Jummah. Noor. There will be a noor in his or her life, in his or her heart, for that week from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this Muslim or this mu'min man or woman who recites al-Jum'ah in faith and in belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam communicated this gift to us. He also said, من قرأ سورة الكهف يوم الجمعة أضاء له من النور ما بينه وبين البيت العتيق. Which means that whosoever recites سورة الكهف on the day of Jum'ah, for such there will be an illumination between him or her and the ancient house. Most likely it means the Kaaba. And imagine that spiritual connection between the qalb of the abd through that nur and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never deprive us from always enjoying its visit. And thus I remind myself, my dear brothers and sisters, and you, that we should try again gradually, but with firmness and with resoluteness, to include this dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially on the day of Jum'ah. And this is something more important than other things that we seek or we have to do sometimes on the day of Jum'ah. I must always take time. I must always empty my time and myself for the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which ultimately benefits only me. Remember that beautiful hadith, Yabna Adam, Tafarrag li'ibadati. O child of Adam, empty yourself for my ibadah. Empty your heart for me. Empty your time. Empty yourself from other preoccupation for me. I must do that. I was created for that. That means, my dear brothers and sisters, I must not relegate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His remembrance to a secondary position to anything. I must not. For that is certainly misplacing the order of priorities in my life. And even if I'm at home, even if I'm at work, I must try always to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart, in my mind. And thus it will govern my actions and my words. And thus my actions and my words will be beautiful, will be right, will be just, will be rich and enriching myself and inshallah those around me. Ibn Adam, tafarrag li'ibadati, amla' sadraka ghina, empty yourself for me, for my ibadah, and I shall fill up your chest, I shall fill up your heart with richness. I shall fill up your chest, I shall fill up your heart with richness, and I shall suffice you against poverty. And I shall suffice you against poverty. وَأَسُدَّ فَقَرَكْ, says he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this hadith Qudsi, communicated to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This hadith, I want to say a few, one more thing about it. If you reflect on it, you will find, subhanAllah, the great benefits in it, in my estimation, in my experience. is that it helps the qalb focus. Why does it help the qalb focus? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically says, concern yourself with me, focus on me, on my ibadah, and don't worry about anything else. I will take care of everything else for you. That means if I come to salah, all my energies are going to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tafarrag li'ibadati. He says that. He knows that I work, that I go to school, that I have responsibilities, that I have duties, that I have so many responsibilities that are legitimate. And he says, tafarrag li'ibadati. Naam ya Rabbi. Atafarrag li'ibadati. So when I'm standing in salah, atafarragu lillahi azza wa jal fully. I empty yourself, I do not keep concerned and attached and connected to any other thing. And my salah will be much different. Much different. For as I am in salah, as I'm in that ibadah or any ibadah in accordance to that text, for me, that means I am out of time and I'm out of space. I'm beyond time and I'm beyond space. I'm beyond any temporal or spatial concern. تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us من كانت أو من جعل الآخرة همه جمع الله عليه شمله جمع الله عليه شمله وجعل غناه في صدره وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة ومن جعل الدنيا همه فرق الله عليه شمله وجعل فقره بين عينيه ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما قدر له سبحان الله من جعل الآخرة همه وفي رواية أخرى من جعل الهم هما واحدا هم المعاد says رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he who or she who makes his or her focal point his or her focus knows that hammahu that alladhi al-amru alladhi yahummuk that which is inside of you as the most focal and the most important matter in other words upon which you gather all your energies converge towards it that is your hamm. There is nothing outside of it. So the one who makes his or her ham the home of the hereafter, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-akhirah. In another text, the one who makes his humum, all of his or her concerns, one concern, al-ma'ad. The day of meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, جَمَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will collect and gather for him all his matters or her matters. Why is this so important? Many of you, perhaps all of you at this stage also, would have experienced what it means perhaps to have a very shattered heart. And the agony and the distress it produces. The restlessness and the agitation and the unease it produces worse than any sometimes physical pain if you know what that means that is exactly what shatatu shaml is that is exactly what shatatu shaml is the shattering and the scattering of one's focus So if the focus is akhirah, then Allah as a reward, as a grace, and as a gift for the abd, jama Allahu alayhi shaml. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather for that abd his or her shaml. جمع الله عليه شملة وجعل غناه في صدره. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as another gift will make his or her wealth and richness inside his or her heart. The person is rich wherever he or she goes, whatever happens to the world outside, whether he outside in his or her hand, in his or her house, he or she that has or does not have money and wealth and so on. And this is not hypothetical, this is real. He or she is always rich inside. He literally doesn't feel poor. Exactly and literally and really doesn't feel poor and doesn't require more than what he or she has. Feels rich inside. He is rich. Whereas some people are perhaps killing each other for who has what and how much. He or she is not even concerned. And not out of arrogance or out of ignorance. Out of richness inside. In other words, this person is, we would say, switched to a different universe. وجعل الله غناه في صدره وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة. And there's another gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes gives, and the good things of this dunya will come to him or her despite himself or herself not wanting them. Despite him or himself or herself, in his or her heart, those matters of dunya have no place, but they come. And oftentimes, such people, when dunya comes to them, when they are in that state, they don't keep dunya for themselves because it has no place in the heart. It's in their hands and they dispense of it, which makes them even richer inside. Remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that story when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala tells us that the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent a gift. He asked, what happened to that shah? What happened to that, you know, to that lamb? She said radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ya Rasulullah, we gave all of it away except the arm. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the meaning of the text, no, we kept everything except the arm. Right? You got it? No, he said, we kept everything except the arm. She did literally give everything except the arm. And when she said, we gave everything except the arm, he said, no, then we kept everything except the arm. What we give, we truly keep. It enriches the heart. What we keep of the halal things of this dunya, that is gone. What we eat, that is gone. What we give fi sabilillah, that we truly keep for us in our hearts and we keep in store with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا عِنَّكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. And when Salih rahimahullah ta'ala, he said about this ayah, when I heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ, which means that which is with you will be exhausted, and that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forever kept and saved. So he says, whenever I had anything that I loved very much, I gave away so that it is kept for me. Whenever I have anything that I love very much, I give it away so that Allah keeps it for me. Subhanallah. 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 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, enjoined on us to call upon him. أَنَّدْعُوَهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He enjoined upon us to call upon him, to implore him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask him. أَنَّدْعُوَهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. إِذْ قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. Says Allah عز وجل وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم. Says your Lord, implore me, call upon me, I shall respond to you. And those who arrogantly turn away from my servitude and worship, they will enter Jahannam humiliated. This, our ulama and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before that explains to us that this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we ask him, that we implore him, that we insist to call upon him. As a matter of fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من لم يسأل الله يغضب عليه. As a matter of fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught even that he or she who does not implore Allah, does not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not supplicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not pray, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will be angered with that person. Human beings are angered when you keep asking them. Like we also learned, when we are afraid of a human being or of any other creature, we run away from them. When we're afraid from Allah, we run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Creatures, they may be very generous, but if you keep asking them and asking them, there is an end to that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased if we don't ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala. لذلك صح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الدعاء هو العبادة. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, what means دعاء, prayer, imploring Allah, asking from Allah, is the عبادة. Is the ibadah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ يَنْفَعُ مِمَّا نَزَلَ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلْ. إِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ يَنْفَعُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ يَمْنَعُ مِمَّا نَزَلَ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلْ. فلا تعجزوا عن الدعاء. فاسألوا الله عباد الله. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, verily dua benefits the abd. And in other variants, protects the abd from that which had already befallen him or her, and that which is yet to come. dua benefits or protects the abd, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that which has already happened to him or her, or that which is yet to happen. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. Request from Allah, call upon Allah, ask Allah, O servants of Allah. There's a very powerful text. To some it's mysterious text. Mysterious because some don't understand perhaps fully its import. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يرد القدر إلا الدعاء. Nothing will prevent what Allah had decreed except dua. لا يغني حذر من قدر وإن الدعاء يمنع مما نزل أو مما لم ينزل. Says Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. And the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His will of forever, had willed and had known that when there is dua, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is changed by another decree, if you will. Qadr is changed by a qadr in which there is dua. Is this clear? Like when we say, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. We don't have free will, except that Allah wills that we have free will. We have will because Allah willed that we have a free will. So, الدُّعاءُ يَرُدُّ الْقَدْرَ أو الدُّعاءُ يَنْفَعُ مِمَّا نَزَلُ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلُ بِهَذَا الْمَعْنَى. With this meaning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that some of His decrees would be changed by the du'a, the imploring, the supplication, the prayers of such or such abd as such and such moment and such opportunity with such and such conditions. الدُّعاءُ يَنْفَعُ وَيَمْنَعُ مِمَّا نَزَلَ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلْ. My dear brothers and sisters, and he also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تَعْجَزُوا عَنِ الدُّعَاءِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَهْلِكُ أَحَدٌ مَعَ الدُّعَاءِ. SubhanAllah. Look at this powerful, look at this powerful statements of hope, of hope. He says, do not weaken and be frustrated and be lazy about being in dua. For as long as you are in dua, you will not be destroyed. As long as you're in dua of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not be hurt to an extent that would be damaging to you. For the result of dua is either that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us exactly what we want under certain conditions. We're going to mention some inshaAllah ta'ala soon. Or He subhanahu wa ta'ala by His wisdom will prevent similar harm from reaching us. If we ask Allah for a specific thing, Allah may give it to us if it's already in His knowledge and wisdom that that's what He wanted and that's good for us. And if He wants to give us something good, because oftentimes we may ask things that we are sure are good for us. But the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes decrees that He doesn't give it to us out of compassion for us, and instead He gives us something else, or instead He keeps away something from us that is harmful to us, which is almost the same as what we or the same as what we asked him for, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think already perhaps some of you at this level had experienced in your lives asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something, and later on, months later or years later, you wished you had never asked. And you insisted and you cried and you wept and, please give it to me, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you time to think. And then sometimes, wallahi, it is true. He gives it to you. And then you will regret. And you would hope that you only left it to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala through istikhara and true istikhara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that too. So when sometimes we don't have what we want, especially when they are matters of other than iman and other than the beautiful stations of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there are other matters of legitimate issues of dunya, and people may ask that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preferably we should always leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet we may ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly for certain things. One of the most essential conditions for dua in our address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah nasta'ajil. Allah nasta'ajil. That we do not hasten. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يزال يستجاب للعبد حتى يستعجل. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, قالوا فما الاستعجال يا رسول الله؟ قال يقول دعوت ودعوت ودعوت ولم يستجب لي فيستحسر عن الدعاء. He said صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم, as long as the abd continues to be in dua of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will answer that abd. As long as that abd does not hasten. They said, what is isti'jal? What is hastening, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied, what means, the individual would say, I asked Allah, and I asked Allah, and I asked Allah, but He didn't answer me. So the individual stops from more dua. I asked Allah, and I asked Allah, and I don't think Allah will answer my dua. Never say that. Never do that. And if one did, one should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do people do that amongst us? Muslims? Some good Muslims also sometimes? Yes. And that is because of, here it's a point of ilm. Is a point of ilm, because people sometimes don't know the gravity of what people are doing by saying that and by feeling that. Never do that. On the contrary, in dua that must continue whenever and however it takes, you should never think Allah doesn't answer me. On the contrary, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you should believe that Allah will answer me. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call upon Allah while you have certainty that He will answer you. اُدْعُ اللَّهَ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. Call upon Allah while you are certain that He will answer you. And then he said to Allah, right after that, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءَ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دعاء قلب غافل. Then he said at the end of that text, and know, however, know that Allah does not respond to the supplications, to the dua of a person whose heart is absent. One is in dua, but only with her tongue or his tongue. One is in dua, but the mind and the heart are somewhere else. One is in dua, but sometimes it's almost like an attitude of arrogance. Sometimes, really, there's an air in the face of arrogance. An air in the face of just like, it's a work. Sometimes there is an air of embarrassment. The face of some. The qalb has to be there. مُخْبِتًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Qalb has to be there, and with ikhbat, with humility, with humbleness, with a sense of true ubudiyyah, with a sense from the qalb of need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with a sense of nothingness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءَ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ. We are also to remember, my dear brothers and sisters, that there are certain conditions for the dua to be certainly answered. And this is one of them. The other one is that our dua itself should not contain aggression in dua, such as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam points out in another hadith, illa an yad'uwa bi ithmin aw bi qati'ati rahim. That is ithm, that is a person ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him or her something that is unjust towards others, for example, or towards himself or herself. Or qati'at rahim, for example, or that a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sever or to grant him or her things that would cause the relationship between kinship to be severed. That's called qati'at rahim. Qati'a is severing of the womb. Rahim is the womb of the mother. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another condition is that in our external lives we should not be deliberately and obstinately doing that which is obviously displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us an example of that. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is this person who is traveling in the desert, Ash'ath Aghbar, traveling in the desert alone and in need, dusty person, worn out clothes, worn out body, in true and terrible need. And then all avenues seemed to have been shut in front of him or her. And then he turns to God, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, wa ta'amuhu haram, wa sharabuhu haram, wa malbasuhu haram, wa mankahuhu haram, anna yustajabu lihaza. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While this person, in his or her regular life, eats haram, drinks haram, dresses in haram, marries in haram, and all of that deliberately. Then he says, Allah says, أَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِهَذَا. How do you think such a person would have his or her prayers answered? Such a person amongst us should do what? Should ask Allah for what? For tawbah. Oh dear Allah, please grant me tawbah. Because tawbah is sometimes, in essence, it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah for the gift of tawbah. We ask Allah for the gift of repentance. من تاب تاب الله عليه. But also فتاب الله عليهم ليتوبوا. Yes, he who or she who struggles to repent to Allah, Allah will facilitate repentance for him or her. But also Allah tells us in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala تاب عليهم, granted them tawbah in order that they truly be in tawbah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to repent to Him, and the desire to repent to Him, and the strength to repent to Him, and to come back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peak times, especially, very special times for asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some special times we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. We can be in prayer, in dua. I'm not saying salah all the time, in prayer all the time, in dua all the time. But there are some special times and some special places for dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of space and time, had assigned as special, by which we seek His nearness more than in other times and in other places. And some of the times are, as you know, after every salah. After every salah. Dubura kulli salah. Between adhan and iqamah. On Jumu'ah, all day. Especially after asr. The last third of the night. Especially the last half of the night, especially the last third of the night, every night, subhanAllah. وهكذا. Places where Mecca, Medina, in front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at al-Hajar al-Aswad, at al-Rukn al-Yamani, behind Maqam Ibrahim, between Maqamu Ibrahim and the Rukn al-Aswad, in the Hijr of Ismail, and so on the Mount of Arafat, on the day of Arafat. وهكذا. These are very special times and special places where the dua is inshaAllah ta'ala most likely also answered. In addition to that, my dear brothers and sisters, in the adab of dua is we always begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need something whereas, Ya Allah give me. Ya Allah give me. We have to express our ubudiyyah also. We first begin, subhanAllah, to acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes and names and try to feel that. And praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by what He is worth, and certainly if we know the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is nothing better than that. And second, after that, never to forget to send salam, salah and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before we begin. Thumma salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we begin asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility and humbleness, and with broken heart in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the certainty that He subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our call as well, one way or the other, inshaAllah ta'ala. And when our heart are present and accompanied by genuine and sincere and authentic tears, from our hearts, through our eyes at that moment. And it is always very good if we seek something very important also, to always give sadaqah before or after we finish our du'a. To give sadaqah, to give some charity to the needy and the poor before we do du'a or after we do du'a, inshaAllah ta'ala. And the ulama, rahimahullah ta'ala, points out to us and experienced that if the du'a fulfills especially all of these conditions, the du'a will be answered. The du'a will be answered. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Wallahi innahu lahaq. One thing I also wanted to mention, in the du'a you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His most beautiful names. You ask Him by His most beautiful names, especially by His al-ism al-a'zam, by His most exalted name that He told us about sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And the du'a with these conditions, it is almost impossible for it not to be answered. Are you bored? Are you bored? Today also I want to say more about this matter of qalb, and it is Jumu'ah, so I'm taking advantage of that, inshaAllah ta'ala, to remind myself, ya'alam Allah first. It is very important, it's already a blessing to be in du'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without even concern for whether He responds or not. The fact to be in du'a for some ibad is more important than to have the du'a answered. Subhanallah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala and used to say, إِنِّي لَا أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الْإِجَابَةِ وَلَكِنْ هَمَّ الدُّعَاءِ فَإِنْ أُلْهِمْتُ الدُّعَاءِ فَالْإِجَابَةُ مَعَهِ. He says, رحمه الله تعالى رضي الله تعالى عنه, I am not concerned by the answer of my dua. What I'm concerned is with dua itself, that I am inspired to be in dua. That's what I am concerned with. I'm afraid that I would not be inspired to be in dua. I'm afraid that I would be made to forget dua. I'm afraid to be in a state where I would not be in dua. إِنَّنِي أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الدُّعَاء إِنَّنِي لَا أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الْإِجَابَةِ وَلَكِنْ هَمَّ الدُّعَاءِ فَمَنْ أُلْهِمَ الدُّعَاءِ فَالْإِجَابَةُ مَعَهِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous, it's very kind. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord said, call upon me, I shall give you. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. And if my servants ask you about me, I am very near. I respond to the call of those who call upon me. Allah is very magnanimous, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives. But when we are not inspired du'a, that may be an indication of displeasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's certainly an indication of lack of some ibadah at least. الدعاء هو العبادة. And Allah is so generous that if He inspires me to be in du'a all the time and most of the time, it is because He wants to give me. If He inspires me to be in du'a always, and I feel not an urge from here. I feel it deep inside. I feel a call inside. I feel a burst inside of dua, of being in dua. That is certainly an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give me. That's why Umar and the likes of Umar, learning from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, what I'm concerned with is not the answer, but the dua itself. And one poet took this meaning, and subhanAllah, when you read it, and if you're alone and you reflect on this, and this comes across, it does marvelous things to the qalb. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, لو لم ترد نيل ما أرجو وأطلبه من جود كفيك ما عودتني الطلبة. لو لم ترد نيل ما أرجو وأطلبه من جود كفيك ما عودتني الطلبة. ما عودتني الطلبة. La ilaha illallah. He says, Ya Allah, in other words, if you really did not want that I attain what I hope and request from the magnanimity of your hands, you would not have made me used to asking you. If you truly didn't want to give me what I want and desire and request from the generosity of your hands, you would not have made me accustomed to asking you. SubhanAllah. Two more beautiful things about dua. La ilaha illallah. Some of the ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, say, relying on some texts and some experience, spiritual experience, they said that sometimes for some ibad, for some ibad, I underline, for some special ibad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they continue to ask Him, they continue to ask Him, they continue to ask Him, and they don't receive what they want, what they ask Him for. And they continue and they don't get it. They don't, they don't, they don't. And there is a text that teaches that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel alayhi salam, and that's where they drew this from, when the abd continues to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says to Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, delay the response to this abd, for I love to hear his lamentation. لأنني أحب أن أسمع صوته. لا إله إلا الله. 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 And the last reflection on dua One, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, what is better, to be in dua or to have the dua answered positively? So he said, what is better is dua and not the answer to the dua. Why? Because when the abd is in dua, when the beggar is begging, the beggar, as long as he or she is begging at the door of the Most Magnanimous, he or she is at the door. But if the door is open and he's given or she's given what they want, then they have to leave. فَالدُّعَاءُ قُرْبٌ. Dua, therefore, while in dua and in state of that type of dua we talked about, one is actually near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his or her heart. And what it does of marvels to the qalb, wallahi al-azim. But if I'm given, oh, I got it, and I leave. And being given requires that one should leave. That's why some ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would prefer to continue to be in dua. And that's another meaning of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saying, إِنَّنِي لَا أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الْإِجَابَةِ وَلَكِنْ أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الدُّعَاءِ. What concerns me is not the answer to my dua, but that I be in dua. And I think, subhanAllah, with this most beautiful meanings in our Islamic heritage of dua, well, let me say, yes, Allah is rich and magnanimous. Ya Allah, let me be in any of these stages. In any of them. Even the one in which I want to get what I want. But remember, a more exalted state is the state where I am at the door. And we will understand that only if we've tasted with our hearts what it means to be near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for 3 seconds. There's nothing else one would want. Because the ultimate dua should be what? Bring me nearer to you, ya Allah. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. That's the most comprehensive, most beautiful dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. Allahumma a'inni dua. What is that dua? Ya Allah, grant me health for to be in dhikr of you, to be in gratefulness to you, and to be in most beautiful ibadah of you. Allahumma a'inni, that he used to say after every salah. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum wa sallallahumma wa sallim wa barik على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عدد خلقك ورضاء نفسك وزنة عرشك ومداد كلماتك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.